Yes, it's in a varied career because I've done a few things in ICCC. One of the jobs I used to have was used to be called the village policeman, and it's actually when I got first to know Paul. we used to have a few words from time to time, and it was my job to try to keep a balance in the various countries, and this led to some quite amusing incidents sometimes. One of the things I was just reflecting on was one of the times I came to a gathering like this, which was a meeting when the new board was going to be established. And I won't tell you which country it is, it's a long way from here. But I discovered that the guy who wanted to be president had bought 40 memberships and brought them all along, and they were all packing the back of the room. And I thought, well, this is a Spanish custom, but we don't normally allow for these things. So the head of the nominations committee was the senior pastor of one of the local churches. And he came to me and he said, what are we going to do? You know, this guy's got all the votes. If we have a standard election, he's going to get in without any trouble, and all his friends are going to make the board, and we're in desperate difficulty. So I said, have you got any ideas? And he said, well, I've been asking the Lord. And he said, the only thing the Lord said was draw lots. And he said, I think that's what we should do. Now I said, well, it's not in the Constitution, but it's not against the Constitution. And it would be the fairest way of dealing with this irregularity, because these guys don't deserve to be elected. And so we did just that. And to my great joy and to his delight, every member who was not part of this little clique was elected, and all the members who'd been bought into the place disappeared, and we never saw them again. So that was a rather amusing incident in the life of a village policeman. One other little incident, then I'll get on with the real business. We've been talking about Oceana, and my first introduction about Oceana was a call from the Cook Islands. And the lady on the phone said, I'm the editor of the Cook Islands Gazette, and we are running a story that ICCC is going to provide the funds to rebuild all our houses which have been destroyed in a hurricane. And I said, how did you get hold of that tale? And she said, well, there's a man here who's been to Australia, and he's heard all about ICCC, and he's come back and he's told this tale to all the people. And he was obviously an entrepreneur, because he said, and if you pay me 200 Australian dollars, you can be in the front of the queue when the ICC come. And then that was some weeks back. And then they got a little bit irate and said, where is ICCC? And he said, well, they're on the next island. And if you pay me another $200, you can actually get a flight across there and be in the front of the queue there. So first thing I did about Oceana was to actually repudiate the story by an advertisement saying that ICCC was definitely not coming and definitely not going to pay any money. And I don't know what happened to the man. He probably fled back here. Probably. I didn't see him as a member here. So we have some fun sometimes in this area of the global governance. We I found it a wonderful, wonderful privilege to do that for a few years. And what I had in mind tonight was I just wanted to recap on a number of the things which we've been talking about in the course of this time. And the thrust, as you know, of the conference is to stand and watch. Well, I spoke about watching in the beginning, and I want to talk about standing and just reflecting on what that means, and reflecting in the context of what has actually been spoken already in the other meetings. They sometimes it's been said of me that I drive everyone to sleep, and I can turn the tables because I've just had such an excellent meal. And it reminds me of the guy who had a dream that he was standing up at the front of a conference like this and speaking. And when he woke up, he found he was. So be warned. So we know what our theme is, and we know that we've been blessed with some excellent presentations in the course of the day. And I just wanted to reflect on some of those, because what we are in ICCC is the product of who we are as individuals. You know, we are no better than the sum of our parts, if I can put it that way. And when I have come here and I said, well, I'm so thrilled to come, you know, from the other side to actually see what the sum of the parts is in here in Australia. And it's good, and I'm delighted, and I'll be able to go back and give a very strong and positive report and say things are well, things are moving forward, there are things which are on the agenda which will be done, and we will see blessing. And that's what I want to tell, that's what I believe in my heart, that's what I've seen. And I'm just so glad with the for the incredible fellowship and joy and reception that's been here. You know, the us guys who come from a long way away rather fear what's going to happen in Australia, especially if you come from England. You know, you think you've heard of all the tales of this and that, and you believe, well, will I understand the language? Will I know how to handle myself? You know. Incidentally, I'm wearing a tie now, not because I thought this was the protocol in Australia, because I know that isn't. But you see, our dear President Dale Neil, he set a precedent. He said, everybody who's on the international board who speaks will wear a tie. And I do that in honor of him and reflecting him, and I appreciate it. So that's why I've got a tie on at the moment. I won't have it on tomorrow. You'll be okay. So we heard a word from, this is where I need to show my age and put my glasses on because I can't read my writing otherwise. So we started with saying, what do we see? And we saw a world in turmoil, a world which is full of instability. But that wasn't the whole thing, is it? Because what we're seeing is these are things that are designed, these are already in God's planned purposes for this world. And he's got great plans for us as Christians. And he's got great plans for us to be involved in the catastrophes which are coming, but in a way that is actually a bringing a blessing and bringing righteousness to his people. We live in a world which tries to evade God, tries to write him off the agenda, tries to explain everything. Sometimes I look at some of the arguments and I think they are so silly, you know, the arguments that are put up, especially by scientists. I mean, if you really unpack them from a Godward standpoint, they don't stand up at all. I sometimes say to my scientific friends, you've got far more faith than I have, because all your stuff is based on some assumptions, which are nonsense. But anyway, I don't go down that road. We would never get here till midnight. But you know, we as a body, ICCC, are specifically called to operate in times like this. Now, that's what we've got to remember. That's what we're here for now. That's what we will be involved in for the rest of our days. To be able to be kings in the Lord's people in his army in these times. So there's no problem with seeing the world in disarray. The problem will be that if we diverge and go away from what God's word has called us to do. That's the problem. And we are, as we've said, many, many times, we are a resource of his church. We're not a separate body. We're not, a unique army. We're a commando, but we're part of God's church. And we'll be part of the bride of Christ when he brings us in. And that's the wonderful thing. Right. Well, now, when we heard, first of all, Anton, who was talking about call to the marketplace. Do you remember? The first thing he said was what? Untie your donkey. You remember that? And he was reminding us that our businesses must be such that they can be flexible for use, for bearing the kingdom message, for bearing the work that is our true work. Our job is not our work. That's just what we fill some of our time in. What we should be doing is making it our full-time ministry, of which the donkey is the beast that takes us on. He also said that we need to be transformed. And that's one of the things, you know, we've used that word in ICCC for a long, long time, transformed. Because we literally do need to be transformed from the conventional way of running as a Christian, even a Christian in business, to a person who is actually committed and dedicated to the Lord's work. It's a different ministry. And we need to recognize that. And he then reminded us that one of the badges that we need to operate with is to learn to wait. Learn to wait and to look around and to see when God causes us to move. You know, I was saying to Anton, I think it was Anton, I can't remember now, but you know, that donkey must have done a lot of waiting, you know, to be in the right place at the right time. And we have to remember that and have patience. You know, rushing off on our own is not a good idea, because we're likely to do damage to ourselves and possibly to the kingdom. So learn to wait until God's signal comes, and it will always come. So that's great. Then I think we had a message from Paul talking about releasing wealth. He was also reminding us that we don't actually know, you know, what is our call. We don't actually know what's the next step. We have to be living in that flexible environment that enables us to be on tiptoe waiting for something to come forward. And I think what I wrote down here was what we want to see is, what does it look like from God's perspective? That's what we're interested in, not what we think it ought to look like, or not what we think it might look like if we did our best. But what is the purpose in God, in our businesses, in God's eyes? God says, come up higher and I will show you. You see, so there's no excuse for us not actually honoring him and following that way. And what we're trying to do is to say, God, what is your purpose in this situation? What is your purpose for these resources? What is your purpose for my life? And when we've got that higher view, then we can go on with great confidence. And other areas that I jotted down was, we need a transfusion from head to heart. I don't know whether you actually said that before, but I wrote it down anyway. it actually is, to me, one of the great, great points, that it's not head knowledge that we're talking about now. It's what actually emerges out of our heart. And they say the distance between those two is the greatest distance in the world. You know, it's so significant that we change and we adopt different methods, different understandings. You know, what is God's purpose? What is God's way? What is the situation here that I am privileged to be part of? And then the last thing, which spoke to me quite a lot, because I'm an accountant and I work on the clock, Paul said, never work for money alone. And I think that's something I'm going to take back, and I thank you, Paul, for it. It reminds me that even though we have tasks to do, even though we may be somebody who's for 40 years has sent out invoices and said, this is the hours I've worked on your case, you know, I'm not going to work for money alone. I'm not going to work for time. I know the Lord's blessing me anyway, but my focus is actually on the kingdom. Okay, so I just recognize that as a good word. And then you remember Alan gave us a wonderful presentation on the importance of Israel, the videos, the really wonderful pictures there. I hope it's quickened you to go and be part of that. You know, you can't actually embrace Israel unless you've actually put your feet on the ground. It's very difficult to have a theoretical knowledge of these things. But when you go there, I tell you, you will never stop going. And our great privilege in ICCC has been to become very much involved and active there. You can see, I mean, that first video about the Innovation's Edge, that was serious stuff in any context. The way in which it was supported by the Israeli government, the way in which those many, many people took part, that is quite a marker as to how far we've been able to progress in our involvement with the areas of Israel. You know, there was a time, there was one moment when we were a catalyst for major change in Israel. And it was when the first of the president's conferences was inaugurated. We actually made the recommendation that they did it, and they took up our advice, and they actually held it. And we were the guests of honor for that very first ceremony. I remember it's the first time I've ever been met at the airport by a car. You know, so I thought, wow, this is quite something. And we were given VIP treatment. We sat in the front row. In fact, the man who sat next to me was the security officer for the president. And I look at him on the television. I said, oh, I know that guy. I know he sat next to me. And we were asked to, the privilege was for Gunnar to speak on behalf of all the guests. There were about 4,000 guests, all the top businessmen who dealt with Israel from around the world. And ICC was asked to speak on behalf of the guests. And Gunnar spoke very simply. And he said, look, you're in a war situation. This was during the Infantada. Don't rely on your troops. Don't rely on how smart you are. you rely on what is written in your book and in our book. You rely on the living God, and he will protect you. Amen. And do you know what happened? The whole of that meeting started crying. It was one of those times when God's power came upon a group, and they all looked at us and said, who are you? Who are you to cause this to happen? And I was very embarrassed because the chairman of IBM was sitting on my table. You know, he was the chief man there. And I was thinking, well, who are we? We're nobody. But the Lord gives an anointing for a moment. You see, so I just want to focus and say, Israel is, you remember, it's the clock of history. And it's pretty close to the end. If you want to know when the end times come, watch out for what happens in Israel. And we'll follow that. And we'll be there. And that's a wonderful thing. Okay, so that was a great presentation. And then Anton finished talking about Oceania. He was talking about really challenging you to say, well, have you got a plan? You know, it's no good asking him. He's only the regional director, don't forget. He's not going to implement the plan. It's whether you've got something in your hearts. Now, I want to talk a little bit later on about how you actually progress in steps like that, because partly this is God's inspiration, but it's partly jolly hard work and practical common sense. So, you know, we'll look at that a little bit later on. But it was a good thing that he ditched, if I can put it that way, his set agenda, set program, and challenged you to think about these things and come back. It was a good thing to see. And if the timing is not now, that is great, isn't it? That saves us a lot of energy and a lot of wasted time and effort. And if it's something that is starting from now, because something is, a seed is put into your heart, well, that is going to be great for the days to come. Okay, so that was really good. We talked about the darkness in those parts. Do you know this darkness is in every nation in the world? It's not just that Sri Lanka or Oceania or Africa have got evil spirits, which are tangible and hurtful and damaging. We have these in the West as well. We call them different things, but they are there. And I'm sure that here in Australia, you've got spirits which are actually having a leverage effect. And I just trust that some people are alert and watching out for those things. These are the things which are the controlling spirits, which we talked about. This is that in that earlier word I gave about which we'll look at again in a moment in Ephesians. And we've got to remember that we are fighting, we're warriors, which are battling with these things. You know, when we were in Burundi, we were making very little headway. We'd been invited there by the president. We'd been encouraged by the church. We had a good team of ICC members. We got an excellent program. And yet the things were sticking. We couldn't figure out what was going wrong. And somebody said, well, have you dealt with the spirits? And we had to have a major program with about 30, 40 people, those who lived there and those who came in to support, going round to actually destroy the works of the devil in these parts. You know, a number of witch doctors were converted. We went into places where there was ancestor worship, and many, many people repented. We went to the place where the chiefs were there, where they'd offered human sacrifice. You know, and then we went to the place down in the lake where there was a mighty alligator called Gertrude, who'd been eating, killing people. And we prayed over the water and disappeared, never been seen since. Don't know what happened, but he disappeared. And we are talking about serious, real events. And then what happened? Then suddenly our program was enabled. Suddenly our program of teaching all the young people, enabling the facilities and actually transforming the nation by teaching children in their own language and teaching the teachers how to teach. You know, in the past, they'd not even allowed the children to speak in the classroom. They just sat there and they with their chalk and their slate, and the teachers spoke at them, and they never spoke. When we brought the teachers together, the teachers wouldn't even speak to each other. They didn't even know how to do that. This was the culture that had been built up. And we set a program down. We wrote it all out. It was brilliant. We found somebody who was Kirundi speaking, and they put it over on that. We got everything ready, got this big high-level meeting. And then we suddenly discovered that the Minister of Education had been changed. You know, one of those terrible things you discover, he'd only been in office a week, didn't know anything about the program. So what are we going to do? And I was there and I thought, I got to go and get hold of that guy. And so I marched into his office up the top floor, and all the facilitation, the Lord opened up the doors because we'd got ICC members there. And I went in the office and I said, Minister, I've got some good news for you. I've got your plan of action for the next 12 months. Here it is. And all you need to do is to take this on board. It's already been approved by the president. And it's a blueprint which is better than anything you'll produce. And all I want you to do now is to cancel all your engagements for tomorrow and turn up at this conference and give a blessing on the folk thing. And he looked at me as though I was completely mad. I mean, so I said, that's all you need to do. And I knew he'd just become, he was a new Christian, and he just began. So I said, and can we pray this together and agree it? And he was prevaricating and saying, oh, I'm not so sure. I've got to tidy my office. I've got to do this, and I have many things to accomplish. So I said, right, well, let's pray about it. And we just prayed and said, Lord, release this man to an understanding of what is needed and allow him to do it. And I just marched out of the office. And the next morning we had the conference in another city. It started. All the educators were there. All the teachers were there, you know, and that. And I was thinking, he's not going to show up. You know, and it's going to be embarrassing. And just as we were beginning to get started and people were getting in their places and things like that, there was a great screeching of tires and a convoy of police and everything came, and the minister marched in as though he knew exactly what was going on. He stood at the front, he opened the conference, he gave the speech I told him to say, and it was all on the television and everything was great. And I just thought, how easy it is, you know, if you have the word of the Lord and go and do it. You know, I just happen to be a visiting, you know, fireman, visiting, popping in. But you need somebody who just actually can turn that key. Amen. And get it done. Now we've seen great blessing there. The whole program's running and getting forward. I'll give you that as an illustration of just how the spiritual side can unlock the doors in these areas. And we want to see that sort of thing in Oceania. Okay? We don't want any of these city time-wasting things. We have godly people in those places. And we want to come in and support them. But we need to do it at the level which God has enabled us. And that means we need to go at government level. And we need to speak it out to those who need to be changed so that the power of God and the release of those who are there already can actually be enabled. So that's good. Yeah. So what did we finish up? Not only that we are prepared for the enemy attack, but also that we do our homework. I think that was what Anton finished with. He said, do your homework. And that's what I'm suggesting is important at this time. Okay? You can see I'm a right old nagger. I always go and tell people what they've got to do. you're not accepting. Okay, tonight's subject, standing with God. You know, we've talked about what being watchful, but this is standing. And it's important because it's so much a scriptural imperative. If you look in the Bible, you'll see many, many times we're told to stand, particularly by St. Paul. And I'm thinking in Ephesians, and I'm going to quote a few passages there, that Paul was telling people to stand their ground. Stand, 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 he says. And I'm reflecting that he's talking to the churches that he's been around, he's formed, he's done little mini conferences like this sort of thing. And then he gets locked up in prison. And instead of feeling sorry for himself and huddling up in the corner, he converts his jailers and he starts writing these incredible epistles for which we have the benefit. And he's talking about standing, standing, standing. So it seems to me this is an imperative of the Christian walk, an imperative of ICC people, that they know how to stand, what to stand for, and just get themselves into that strong position, each of us individually. And then we are collectively an army. Okay, now, being a good scholar, I thought I'd better look up the word stand in Strong's Concordance, because there's always some Greek words that are worth looking at. But I found there was 4 pages of standing, and it went from all sorts of things, including hat stands and coat stands and things like that. So I thought, I'm out of a depth. I'm not a scholar, can't do that. So I just wanted to say to you, to me, there is the standing firm, the standing fast element, but particularly there is the withstanding. Do you understand? I think that when Paul is talking about stand, he means withstand. And the purpose is to withstand the attack of the enemy, hold your ground, and be part of God's kingdom army. So we're withstanding for the purpose of building the kingdom. Not for our own purpose or our own advantage, but for the purpose of the kingdom. Do you get the drift? Okay, let me just refer to a few scriptures that I've jotted down here, which won't take a moment, I hope. We had a text offered to us in at the beginning when we were planning this conference, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. If I can find it, 16 and verse 13. It said, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." Now that was where we got our "watch and stand" as our headline for the conference. And the point I really want to make there is it's not only just standing fast in the faith, but it's be brave and strong. Amen. Be courageous. You know, we have to actually recognize this is a key assignment. And then we move on into 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, which says we have dominion over faith, we are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. So Paul is reminding the church in Corinth, which you probably remember was a little bit out of shape in many times, he was reminding them that they needed to stand and that he was recognizing that that was the position they should take. We should do the same. Then I want to nip across into the book of Ephesians, where we were looking at things before, in that wonderful passage in Ephesians 6. Start at verse 11. You remember we've been talking about putting on the armor. We'll talk about that in a moment. But putting on the armor that you may, this is verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now we've been reminding ourselves all the time that our battle is not against people, it's against the enemy forces. And here's Paul reminding us that the purpose of the armor is to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And we'll talk about how we can do that in a moment. In verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We talked about that before, against the spiritual hosts in the heavenly places. We recognize that is our enemy. Verse 13, take on the whole armor of God that you may able to withstand in the evil day. You see, that's where I'm focusing on this withstand. Because withstanding, to me, means that you're being pushed and you're going to hold your line. You're not going to be pushed backwards. And we're going to be attacked. You know, we will be, if we're not any good, the enemy will leave us alone. But if we're going to go and do things, we're going to get attacked. And that's then when we've got to withstand the forces. We withstand with the armor and the power and the issues, the things that Paul writes about in this chapter. But that's the reality. Then he says in verse 14, stand again. Stand, having girded your waist with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness and so on and so forth. He's talking about standing in the evil day. And then last in verse 18, prayer and supplication, being watchful with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. He wants us to stand our ground, and that's the key element that he's constantly advising. This was the church in Ephesus, which was doing pretty well, but he'd also reminded the church in Corinth. And Paul, St. Paul, or not Paul, St. Paul, he was very, very assured in what he'd received of the Lord and what his mandate was to pass it on to the churches. And he passed it on not just for those churches at that time, but for the church for all eternity. And that to me is wonderful, isn't it? You see, because we've got, and so when we talk about our conference tonight being stand your ground, then we know we're on very strong principles. We know we're on the way in which the kingdom is actually established and the way in which we can perform and act in the days to come. Praise God. So the key verse again, watch, stand fast, be brave, be strong. That's an imperative. It says that is what you've got to do. By faith you stand. And we've talked about how it was. And one of the things about putting on the armor is that we've got to pray. We've got to pray in the spirit, don't forget. We've got to be watchful, and we've got to do it with perseverance. All pretty good ways in which we can actually stand our ground and hold ourselves in these ways. Now, I just want to think about a few areas in which these can apply in the life and operation of ICCC here in Australia. I offer them very humbly, as I'm a very humble person, but the purpose is actually for encouragement. You see, if we have some targets, if we have some actions, some plans that we can work to, then we can achieve something. You know, no plan, no action, no results. And yet all these things, this standing and being part of things, is to take action. They're not passive things. They're not negative things. They're not retreating. They're holding the ground and moving forward. This is the purpose. So what it reminds us is that we need to work in the whole area of righteousness, of goodness, of faith. We need to keep the unity of the Spirit. So important, this unity. You know, the one thing that sends the Lord's purposes out of the window is disunity in any way. And we need to recognize that is one of the absolute central requirements of standing in ICCC. You know, we are not to be clones one of another. We've got to have our independence. We've given us a unique gifting of God. That's part of the wonder. And we're also allowed to disagree. But we've got to disagree in love, you know, preserving the unity. You know, Anton will remember that in the international board, we have had some fairly serious set-tos and clashes of opinion. But we always make sure that the unity of the Spirit is maintained afterwards. Gunnar calls this steel upon steel. You know, and I sometimes think, well, that's all right, but I would rather not be on the receiving end of this stuff. You know, but the point really is that you end up by exercising that unity of the Spirit. A little thought that came to me right at the beginning of my time in ICCC, because I was a very lowly junior guy. I was only taken on because I was a writer in English, and they needed somebody to do the minutes. But the key thing was that I realized that if I was going to stay silent, I wasn't going to contribute. If I said something, then I could lay it on the table, as it were, and leave it there and see if anybody else would pick it up. And then I'd done my call before the Lord. If somebody then disagreed, well, that was great. They could leave theirs on the table. But by doing that, you take out that sting that it's you that's personally making that statement, and you're going to defend it to the end. So when you're having meetings, when you're having discussions and things like that, do try to hear the Lord, say what the Lord gives you, but put it in a place where it's not actually going to be in conflict with others. Allow somebody else to pick it up if it's of the Lord and go with it. And then you'll get the unity of the Spirit. Okay, so I offer that as something that's helped me. You can suit yourselves. Okay. We need to exercise our spiritual gifts. You know, I'm glad that we can see that we've all got the same giftings. We all recognize the importance of worship. We all recognize that unless you actually open your hearts to the Lord and you use the gifts of the Spirit, unless you actually honor God and worship Him in holiness, as we've been seeing in this conference, we don't actually get beyond the first chapter. We need to do that as a preliminary. You know, in our board meetings, we have when we were meeting regularly, we were meeting for 5 days. 5 days, and out of that day, more than 2 days would be in worship and praise. That's because we needed a platform. And then the rest of the time, you can deal with the rest of the issues around the world. But that's the key to doing these things. We've been given these gifts, not just for us to put in our cupboard and think about them and hoard them and polish them, but to actually use them as constant, daily, regular features. Okay, so part of the ICC mandate is to do that. I'm just so glad that there are people who are praying for us from around the world for this conference. You know, I know that because we sent out the reminders, and I know that Ntensi and his prayer team have been doing that. Prayer groups in Europe, prayer groups in Africa. That's great, isn't it? So we're a team and we're a body, and we know God is answering those prayers because we're having a great time. Okay. And of course, one of the key things in that area is, well, we need to be renewed in the mind. We don't need to carry the old baggage around. We need actually to come to that new place of discovering what it is that God has got for us and for his purposes. That's the exciting bit. As you renew your mind, so you become fresh, so you become excited, so you get younger every day, and so that the world, you know, really comes out in sunshine. It's great, it's great, it's great. And if we walk in that love and stand in the light, you remember I've been talking about the darkness coming, but the light gets brighter as the darkness gets greater. And we are people of the light. Amen. So we're going to be those who actually have something to say. We talked about how can we reach other people and how can we speak what we're receiving. Well, there's one thing to do, that's never stop talking, you know, which is what I do. And all my clients get a great earful of all this every day of the week. And they are interested because this is the topic of the world at the moment. What is going on? So there's no problem there. But one of the key things is that as the darkness encroaches, people will be coming to us. You know, it says in the scriptures that people will be coming and holding on to those who understand what's going on, holding on to their coat. And I can imagine that we, all of us, are going to have a lot of people saying, please help us. Please tell us what you think is going on. Isn't that great? So it won't be a problem. It'll be the problem will be probably to get any sleep and any food. And that will be an exciting time too. I just get so excited about the thought that these are the planned things and this is what it actually means in Scripture. You imagine that early church. You imagine those people that actually had that revelation and the message of Christ at the time. Do you know? That's amazing. Can I just interject a little bit here? I wander off track and try to come back on. did you hear, many of us who were in Israel heard a guy who was telling us about that early church, who the group of the people were that was actually called at Pentecost to start the church, to move it. You know, it says they were God-fearing Jews, just come out of the temple, just paid their temple tax and were thinking of pushing off back home. But who do you think they actually were? They were obviously wealthy people because they'd been able to come from those places. They'd left somebody minding the shop and they'd bought a ticket and come across. I don't think they flew in, but that they came across and they were in Jerusalem and they were a big crowd of people, all of the same sort. So who were they? They were businessmen and women. When the church was founded, it was founded on the feet of businessmen and women. When God has jobs to do, he gives the job to businessmen and women because we actually have the resources to go and do things. We are God's mobilizing force in those things. That bunch of 3,000 went out and they changed the world. They were scattered because of persecution and they went into all the other places and they started businesses and they brought people in. The early church was so effective and prosperous and in such good standing that the numbers went from 3,000 to 30,000 to 300,000 to 2 billion. That's how it's gone, isn't it? And who's done that? A lot of the legwork's been done by businessmen and women. So we have an incredible mandate to do these things. So anyway, that's a diversion. I can't even remember where I was now. So I think what we remember is that we need to be effective. We need to recognize what tools we've got, and we want to use them in the service of the kingdom. Now, if we move a little bit further, one of the analogies that St. Paul uses is he talks about we wrestle. We wrestle against these forces and these powers. Now, you won't be surprised that I've spent quite a lot of the last month watching the Olympics, and I really reveled in watching the wrestling because to me, it's an intriguing sport, how people tangle with one another and how you get a particular grip and so on and so forth, and how you overcome the opposition. It's a proper, real wrestling match. And we are required, and sometimes, to get to close grips with those issues that we're involved in, and we wrestle with them. And that's what Paul is reminding us, that we have to wrestle with the powers of darkness and actually come to grips with them. And Paul, he'd done these things, he'd seen the battles, he'd been beaten up, he'd been thrown out, he'd been left for dead, been put in prison, he'd been shipwrecked. He knew a fair bit about wrestling, didn't he? Because he had it all. That's our privilege to be like that too. But what are we actually wrestling against? I mean, we're not wrestling against people. We're not wrestling against each other. We're wrestling against those evil forces, you know, unbelief, the dishonoring of people, the doubt that we're wrestling against our circumstances. We're wrestling against that element of fear that comes when we have setbacks. Do you see? All of us have all these things, and all of us have to wrestle to come into a positive attitude. We can all wake up in the morning and think, oh dear me, it's another day. What a terrible thought, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Or we can wake up and say, I'm going to overcome everything in this day in the name of the Lord, because he gives me strength, because he gives me joy in my heart, because he's got tasks for me to do. Do you see? And it's getting hold of that. And sometimes it's quite a wrestle. You know, I sometimes find even now, when I've been wrestling for a long, long time, that you still have to wrestle. And you need to keep reminding yourself that God tops you up. The Holy Spirit is always available to refresh you, to lift you up. But if you don't ask for help, then you're not going to get it. And then you start sliding downhill. Before you know where you are, the whole thing has become distorted. So again, do recognize that these are things we need to do actively. Okay? Yeah. One of the things which Paul constantly was reminded about, and we've been singing about, put on the armor. Put on the armor. You know, the armor is quite clearly defined. I won't go into it because you all know it. But part of the armor is equivalent to what we call the ICCC toolkit. You know, it's the essential battle wear for you to do battle in this. When I was in the military, I had to wear a particular uniform, which included all sorts of leggings and bits and pieces like that, so that I could withstand the pressures of going up to heights and, you know, supersonic and all that. Now we don't wear those. Well, the guys who do that do, but I wear a different sort of armor, and every part of it is important, and the whole armor is designed so that we can withstand. One of the important bits, which I would just mention in passing, is the helmet has also got a visor over it. And one of the things which we need to watch in our Christian life, particularly us men, is that we do not let our eyes stray into the wrong areas. And the helmet of salvation is part of that weapon and armory that we go. So make sure you've got your visor down as you go around. Okay? So the ICC thing is based on the Word of God, it's based on our commitment to prayer, it's based on the commitment to be a unity of the Spirit, it's based on us all trying to keep in step. You know, the Roman armor, which Paul knew about, was based on the centurions and the soldiers which were able to march absolutely united, so that their armors actually overlapped and there was no space for anything else. Incredible, incredible. We need to be doing the same. That's the model, that's the picture that we should have. And of course, we need to walk in discipline. Discipline, did I say discipline here in Australia? Yeah. No, it's important, isn't it, that we have the supreme authority of the Lord. It's not a free-for-all, and we need to be in discipline one with another. And if we love one another, and if we are really in the Lord, then that's easy, because we have that lovely fragrance of the Lord coming into our relationships. And that's so good. That's the only way we can do it, because we're built to be independent, we're built to do it ourselves, we're taught that at school, we do it all the way through. But if we actually submit to one another in the Lord, then this is good, and then the armor works. Okay? And then, of course, we're called to do things, we're called to do exploits. And I want us to think a little bit about some of the exploits we do in ICCC. How's the time going? I've got to watch out. Yeah, am I all right for the time? Another quarter of an hour. Okay. And I mentioned about the work in Burundi, the Education Enhancement Initiative. Paul has mentioned about the work in Rwanda, which is the Business Development Center there. So major work to have something like that. Now, this is not something which is, unique in itself. It's a demonstration to the Lord, if you like, that we're following his call. We believe it was the call of God to start this work. We believe it's the call of God to fulfill it and bring it to a good point where it's released into the nation. But above all, it's a point of discipline. You know, we hear the Lord, he says, go and do this. And we go and do it, and we keep on doing it until the Lord says, now go and do something different. And it's a great success. You know, we've trained up 150, 160 young entrepreneurs so far, and we'll be doing many others. So I just want you to know that these little events are going on. There's another project there, which is also ICC originated, which is the Burundi Power and Water Project. It's a massive project, build three hydropower stations on the river, because at the moment, Burundi only has 40% of the energy that it needs. ICC members, in their own right, are actually setting that up, they've done the feasibility study, they're doing the finances at the moment, they've got the government approval, and we hope we'll start actual work on the ground around about the turn of the year. When it's finished, it will not only provide half the additional power that the country needs, which is a large important thing as in itself, but it will probably be the largest single project in the country. Okay, and it's ICC originated and it's ICC sustained, and it's part of the Global Trade Center work, which is run by Gerhard Rausch from Germany. So there are projects, some good projects around. Just thinking of other sort of projects, if Ntensi was here, he was going to talk about his projects for the overcoming the areas of corruption in Nigeria. You know, he's done an incredible amount of work there. And I was so privileged to actually go in at the beginning. I wasn't privileged, I was directed. Gunnar rang me up and said, I'm supposed to be speaking at a major conference in Nigeria in a week's time. Said, I'm unwell, you're going in my place. Oops. You know. So there I was, you know, finding myself in a government conference that Ntensi had organized. He had the favor of the president, and all the government ministers were there, the head of the church was there, the army was there, and all the VIPs in the land were there. And the object was to discuss this issue of corruption. And at that time, Nigeria was 172 out of 178 nations on the Transparency International list. And I sat there, everybody wanted to make a speech, you know, got hotter and hotter. The power failed and the central heating, the air conditioning conked out. Somebody put their hand up and said, did you bribe the electricity company? So, but it got harder and harder. When it was my turn to speak, which was probably about 2 o'clock after we'd been going from 9:30, I was just amazed because I'd been listening to people making all sorts of excuses. You know, the bishop said, well, our view on corruption is, well, you have to pay a tithe on it. And that sanctifies it, you know. I thought, you know, where did he find that in the scriptures? And there were strange things like that. And when I stood up, I said, I have heard the Attorney General telling me that he has not been able to prosecute anybody in the government. And I said, he tells me that the reason for that is because they're his friends. And I said, well, what excuse is that? Anyway, we went on like that, and they just said, oh, you're a crazy European, you don't understand our ways. And I was so annoyed because actually in Nigeria, the amount of money that had been corrupted was far more than would put all the children into, all the poor into food, and all the sickness, and it was more than the amount that they were receiving in aid. And I was just thinking, you know, this nation does not deserve to be helped unless it's willing to tackle this problem. Okay, but praise God, from that effort, the Anti-Corruption Commission was established. Ntensi kept it going, he pushed the prayer button, and all the churches got behind it. And gradually, Nigeria has redeemed itself. It's now down to 120 in the anti-corruption list. Still not very good, but a lot better than it was. But that was an ICC initiative, okay? We've done similar initiatives in Russia as well, which are tougher and the same thing. And one of the other initiatives in this whole area is that in Switzerland, in ICC Switzerland, they have been working on trying to repatriate the money that is stolen. You know, in Switzerland, you can go into places where they say the streets under the pavement is literally paved with gold. All the money, corrupt money from all around the world is sitting here in ingots. And what we've been saying is, well, why should it be there when it should be put back to the people from whom it's been stolen and being used for the benefit of the people? Amen. And we've got money back from many, many nations. And this is an ICC project. So you can see we've been involved in quite a few exploits. And these are actually prayer preceding exploits. They don't, you don't just go in and do it. But if you get the God's go ahead and you can do these things and you can be involved in it, it works. And our problem actually in Switzerland is that we dare not repatriate money to countries where it will just be stolen again.
Stolen again.
Yeah. I mean, the circular. So there's still work to be done on that. But it's exciting that you see, one of the things I just want to emphasize is these exploits are all at government level. You see, we are talking at serious levels to serious people and doing serious things. And what I'm hoping that, I'm trying to spin off here for Australia is that you do the same. You have opportunities to reach at government level or state level or oceanic level, and it just depends on being available to do it. You know, and my excuse for doing these things myself has been I've learned bit by bit. You know, the first person I ever spoke to in any senior capacity was the governor of West Papua, Irian Jaya, whereby a remarkable circumstance, which I cannot sadly recount tonight because I haven't got time, I was asked to set up a program with the ICC in Singapore to train that government in the ways of Christian nationhood. What a privilege, what a privilege. You know. Now, some came from Australia. Phil Fosco was one. And we actually gave them a program of how to do it. You know, you see, and I thought, well, I'm a new boy. This is my first overseas trip. And what happens is I get told to go and talk to the governor. I haven't got anything to say to him. I don't know how to even address a governor. I found out it was Your Excellency. But when I sat next to him and he couldn't speak English and I couldn't speak his language, through an interpreter, he said, "Have you got anything to tell me?" And it suddenly clicked on my mind. I said, "Yes, you will be immediately assorted by the IMF to give a loan to your new country. They just received autonomy." And I said, "If you do that, you'll go back into slavery. They do not take the loan." And I went off and thought, well, I did my best. You know, Lord, I wasn't very good, but I did my bit. And then I, over subsequent years, with spirited emails, he kept writing back and he'd say, "We did not take the loan."
Amen.
And I thought, hey, if you can do it there, you can do it any place. So that's why I have the excuse of going in and telling the Minister of Education in this place to go out and join in and things like that. It's why I have the excuse of actually coming here and talking straightforwardly to you. It's because the Lord actually freed off my tongue to do these things. And this is one of the things which I believe is a freedom that comes with the job here in Australia. It's part of the ICC mandate, it's part of the ICC heritage to be able to do these things. We've been doing it, we've been practicing it for 27 years. And we learnt it from Gunnar and from others and Dale and those who've gone ahead. But now it's us, it's you and I who've actually got to do these things. Do you see? So that's why we can do it. Just wanted to mention one other little thing and then I'm going to stop. It's just on 8:55, yes. Okay, see, I like keeping in order because I'm on the clock. ICC finances. I happen to be the temporary international treasurer, and most people think that's because you're a chartered accountant. But that's really got nothing to do with it, because the actual keeping of the books is done by a very excellent guy in the office called Joachim Amjand, the office in Sweden. So all you have really as the treasurer is the oversight of the numbers and that proud thing of explaining what they all mean to people who are totally non-numerate. But the test, you see, is not that you know how to keep the books. The test is, can you walk by faith? It's because we're a faith ministry when it comes to finances. We have a subscription which pays just for that office, pays for the cost of keeping the membership together. Then everything else is a free will gift. And praise God, we do have good gifts that the members bring in. But I make no apology to say, look, those gifts have got to come from members. You're going to bless me with an offering, I believe, before we leave, which needs to mop up certain costs here, but also may be partly an opportunity for you to sow into some of these projects. We don't need your money because God looks after us, but it's so great if you have the privilege of joining in and being part of that. You see, God has all the resources in the world, but a lot of them are in the pockets of his Christian people. And we need to free them up from there. Yeah. Purses as well, ladies. Yeah. And I just delight in being able to see that we have never, ever in ICC ever run into debt. We've never, ever failed to meet our obligations. We've never, ever failed to do the projects which the Lord has done, because he's brought faithful men and women to come in and stand with us. And, you know, when you think about a conference in Israel, you're talking about 200,000 US. And it's quite a challenge to make sure that all that comes in at the right time and so on and so forth. Anyway, that's enough on that. I just wanted to bring it in because finance is part of God's kingdom. You can't get away from it. It's one of those practical things. So, what do we say? Having done all, Paul says, stand. Having done all, withstand. Stand fast. That's really what I'm talking about. In ICC at the moment, we're saying it's not in the doing of things, it's in the being of things. Okay? So we're not going to expand vastly all our projects. We're not going to have IBDCs all over the world, because we want to be on our tiptoes to listen to what God is saying to us for the future. That's the key thing, isn't it? The past is the past. Now we see that the things are changing in a rapid manner. We want to be on our tiptoe to what is it you're going to do in the future. Now, one of the things I know we're going to do is we're going to move our focus of operations from the west here towards the east, because that's the way the world is going. And how can we do that? Only if you guys are going to be part of that and helping us spearhead it. Do you see? And then we will have many more people coming across and giving you much more wiser words and wisdom than me. And you will have great joy in being part of that spearhead that is taking on the message for the next generation. We don't know how much time we've got. Paul said it could be 5 years, could be 10 years, could be longer. But what we do know is that Israel is the clock, so we can easily watch the clock and see how things are going. The church has still got to get itself into shape, which is not at the moment, and we're going to be part of that. And what we've got to do is to see how this world of mammon rises up and how we are not part of it, how we have our independent way under God to live. Great agenda. What do you think? Okay. So I commend it to you. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be part of it as long as the Lord allows. And I hope to see you guys all there. Okay? Amen.